Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Come and celebrate and reflect with us next on Gospel of Life. I am Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to the program and happy Easter. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ and reflecting on it today along with our Associate Director, Janet Morana. And this is a season of joy. It's a season of victory. It's a season of life, and that's what our ministry is all about.
That's right. And you know, Father, people ask us all the time, how can you keep doing this work day by day? You know, don't you get discouraged trying to end abortion? And we always say, well, no, because we take our cues from the Lord. You know, He's yes. given us the victory, and really we're just representing the Lord in the darkness of the world and shedding the light of the resurrection.
Well, a victory that has already been won. Exactly. He has conquered the kingdom of death. And of course, that was the essence of the message that I gave that we're going to share with our viewers today.
Well, let's take a look at that homily right now.
My brothers and sisters, my best wishes to you for a happy Easter. We are celebrating the season of the victory of life, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are celebrating today the fulfillment of a promise that was made to us at the very beginning of our history as a human family. A promise reflected in our reading today from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, starting with verse 6, we read, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And he will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Well, that's what this feast of Easter is. We have seen his salvation. He has come with the gift and the promise for which we have waited. Not only we individually, but for which we as a human family have waited as we have groaned and labored under the cloud and the shadow of death from the beginning of our history. We have waited for this day when the ancient curse of death, when the dreaded fear of extinction would finally and could finally be conquered at last, that we could know that the last word of the human story would not and could not be death, but rather life. That day has come. We have now that victory. We have that certainty. Why? Because the Lord has spoken. Notice what Isaiah says. He predicts that God will destroy death. But he says the Lord has spoken. Because in the beginning, when there was nothing but God, he spoke a word and life came about. He spoke and there was light and there was a sun and a moon and an earth and plants and flowers and animals and human beings, male and female. He created them in his image. How did he do all this? He spoke a word. And that word, of course, is Jesus Christ. That word that existed from all eternity and through whom and for whom all things were made. The one through whom and for whom everything exists, Jesus Christ, today rises from the dead, not because he didn't have life before, not because somehow death had any power over him, but rather because he took our human nature up into that life that he always had and that could never be touched by death. Jesus does not have a glory today that he didn't have from the beginning of the world. Remember how he prayed on the night before he died. Father, give me the glory that I had with you before the world began. He was always divine. He was always in glory. He always had life. He was always unconquerable. What happens today? What's different? The glory that he has on Easter morning, having risen from the dead, means that this glory he always had is now shared by our human nature. He takes our humanity into that glory. And that's why the Feast of Easter, the Feast of his rising from the dead, is not simply an occasion on which we marvel and are in awe over what happened to Jesus. It's not simply an occasion when we come to church and we congratulate Jesus for rising from the dead. It's our victory. Because it's our human nature that he has taken through the grave and then out of the grave. It is our death that he has conquered, not just his own. This is our feast of victory. Because when Jesus Christ comes out of that tomb, he doesn't only conquer his death, he conquers yours. He conquers mine. He conquers the death of every human being who ever lived and who will ever die. He has overturned the entire kingdom of death. He has robbed it of its power. He has conquered Satan, the prince of darkness and of death. He has opened for us, literally, a new humanity. A humanity now joined to the life that can never end. And so Isaiah said, it will be said on that day, this is our God. We have waited for him. Our history as a human family has been one of painful waiting. We waited through centuries and millennia of oppression and fear, of darkness and doubt, of wondering what the true salvation of the human family would be. We waited through those years of darkness, those centuries of darkness, permeated by light at various moments when the prophets came and promised that God would intervene, promised that the one who made us would save us. But it is only in Christ that we see the fullness of that light and understand, in the words of St. John, the darkness has not overcome it. This is the Lord for whom we waited. Let us be glad and rejoice. Because he has destroyed the veil that veils all nations, the web that is woven over all peoples. And notice the words Isaiah used. It says he will swallow up death forever. Death is swallowed up in victory, as St. Paul will then repeat to the Corinthians. Death is swallowed up. It's making reference back to the very beginning, to the first death. Because when Cain killed his brother Abel, the book of Genesis tells us that the ground opened up and swallowed Abel's blood. And now God swallows up death itself in victory. This is Easter. This is the day the Lord has made. We could not have done it ourselves. This is not a day we can make. It is not by our wisdom, by our might, by our will, by our technology. It is not by our political or military might. It is not by human strategy. It is not by the wonders of medicine. It is not by anything we as human beings can think, plan, or do that death has been conquered. This is the day the Lord has made. Only he can free us from this web woven over all nations, this veil that veils all peoples. It is only he who can destroy death forever, and he has done so. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us when we realize now we have laid claim now on eternal life? What does it mean for us to realize that provided we are united with Christ and remain faithful in him, with him, through him, that we too will rise from our own graves? What then does that mean for us today? How are we, as a people of life, how are we to live in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, it's very simple. We are the people of life, and therefore we're to proclaim life, and we're to celebrate life, we're to serve life, we're to defend life. Life now shapes every decision that we make as Christ's people, as his body. It's all about life. And so the defense of life and the promotion of it, the welcoming of it, the rejoicing in it, despite any cost, any sacrifice, any obstacles or burdens, that positive yes to life now shapes us to the very core. It's our spirituality as a people. It's what defines us now. Easter has shaped everything that we think and say and do. And that's why, as a culture, we are to reject death as a solution. We are to reject death as a solution to anything. We no longer see in death any benefit. We don't see it as the benefit to a problem pregnancy, the way out of a situation that otherwise seems impossible. We don't see death as a solution. We don't see the killing of that unborn child by abortion as a benefit to anyone, starting with the child and continuing on with the mother, the father, the family, the society. It's not a benefit. It's not a solution. It's not a good. We reject it. We reject death as a solution to a person who is ill and who is suffering and who perhaps cannot walk anymore or has to endure so many limitations of things that they were once able to do or say, took for granted perhaps until they realized how difficult life was without it. But we don't see death as a solution to those situations. We see rather the love that we can give each other, the solidarity, the community, the coming together, the being with each other, the helping one another to understand that no matter how diminished we might be in the functions of our body or even our mind, we are never diminished in our dignity. We never lose that sacred gift of human dignity that we all possess. We never lose it. And so life is celebrated even when it's weak. It's celebrated even when it is beset by illness. It's celebrated even when it's hard. Because life is always a reflection of the presence, the glory of God. Always. That's why we're the people of life. That's why Easter puts on us not just this tremendous gift and this tremendous hope and this tremendous victory, but this tremendous obligation now to defend human life, this tremendous obligation to stand up whenever anyone comes along and says that death is a solution or a right. We will stand up and say no. We will stand up and reflect the glory that shines on that unborn child or that person in the hospital room or even that person on death row or the poor person living and dying in the streets. We will embrace those persons because we see beyond all those circumstances. And just as we have embraced the one who was nailed to a cross, so we can embrace the ones who are nailed to all kinds of suffering, infirmity, and rejection. We can embrace those whom the law and the courts dismiss as non-persons, irrelevant, children in the womb, and yet not given one ounce of dignity or rights under our current laws. We can stand up and say, no, this is not the way it is. This is not the way it's going to be. This is not the way that is right. We are going to restore that protection. We're going to restore that respect, that love, that dignity, because we're the people of life. Easter is our victory. To all of you who work for the defense of human life, I say to you today, this feast is our starting point. This is the beginning. We start in this great battle for the unborn, in this great battle for the right to life. We start with the gift of the victory that is placed in our hands today. We're not just hoping for victory. We're not just hoping that we will win this battle. We're not just trying to figure out how we can conquer the culture of death. No, our starting point is a declaration today, a firm conviction, a proclamation to the world that the kingdom and the culture of death has already been conquered. That's where we begin. And we take this victory of life and we say to the powers of the culture of death right now, you no longer have any authority over the human family. You no longer have any room, any place here. Be gone. Cease afflicting and oppressing our brothers and sisters, because your kingdom has been overturned. Your power has been taken from you by the one who today has fulfilled a glorious promise. And he said, on this mountain I will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. I, the Lord, will destroy death forever. He is risen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Alleluia. Well, friends, I hope that you experience today the joy of this Easter season. And it is a season. It's not just the day. Janet, that's often something people forget. We're going to celebrate this now for a beautiful period of 50 days because Jesus rose from the dead. 40 days later, as we know, he ascended into heaven. And then 10 days after that, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. So it constitutes a whole season of joy and of recommitment to defending life.
And, you know, so often, just like with Christmas, Easter, you know, in the secular market, after Easter Sunday's over, then everyone forgets about everything. The jelly beans are gone and the Easter baskets get put away. But no, we as Christians, like you said, Father, have a 50-day celebration of Christ's victory over death.
Yes, and we have to implement that victory, and that's why we want to invite people constantly to become more involved in the pro-life movement. Because, you know, pro-life is, if this feast teaches us anything, it's that pro-life movement is not something we add on top of the gospel. It's not some agenda imposed upon the church. It flows from the very essence of what the church is. We are the people of life.
And I think this time, you know, at Easter, is a time for people to look into their own heart spiritually and say, well, if you are pro-life, now's the time not to just be quietly pro-life or privately pro-life, but we want you to be publicly pro-life. And we want you to, first of all, to join us in our prayer campaign, which is at prayercampaign.org. They can see all the beautiful prayers we have up there to bring an end to abortion. But besides praying, we want some action. And by watching our programs, we always have an idea on every show of how they can get involved. But I also tell people, see what's available in your area. Look where the nearest pregnancy center is. Go there for a visit. See how you might get involved to fight for life.
We also have other Easter homilies available on our website, expanding on many of these reflections. Scripture has so much to say to us about what happened on that first Easter morning. So many lessons can be drawn from that, and I do draw those lessons in a series of homilies that we have posted at gospeloflife.com, and people are encouraged, as well as their pastors, to tune in, listen to those homilies. It will enrich their celebration of this entire season of Easter.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Janet. Thanks for all you do, brothers and sisters, for the culture of life. You know, encouraging the clergy, as we were just saying, is key because, as Dr. Bernard Nathanson said, well, he's one of those who started the abortion rights movement. He said, we would have never gotten away with what we did if you, the clergy, had been united, purposeful, and strong. By joining our ministry, you can help us support those clergy to be more united, purposeful, and strong. Stay tuned now. We're going to have our action segment to give you more ideas about building a culture of life.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. Changing someone's mind about abortion or saving a baby's life can be as simple as this little business card. That's what Janet and I are going to talk to you about today. Janet, tell us about these action cards.
Well, these action cards are produced by our friends at Life Dynamics. And if people, after we talk about using them, would like a free sample of these cards, they can contact us at Gospel of Life, and we'll send them a little kit of samples, and then they can order more if they like. And what they are is a simple business card. And the idea is you leave these in places where people can just come upon them and read that pro-life message.
So you leave them in a restaurant when you pay your check. In other words, just slip it in there along with
the
credit card slip and the tip. Why not? Leave them in any public places. Sometimes don't they have in the... in a lot of these supermarkets, like a kind of a bulletin board area.
That's right.
Stick one of these up there.
Yeah.
Distribute them, and this is where people can use their creativity. And if you always have some in your purse, in your wallet, or in the glove compartment of your car, then it's easy. Put some in your computer case, you know, in your briefcase.
Right.
Then you'll find creative ways to get these in front of people's eyes.
That's right. And I've used them in a variety of places, in public restrooms, you know. Mm-hmm. There's those nice little ledges, you know, or the place right where the paper towels are, there's ledges and people are always grabbing. I lay a few of them there. I've actually gone to the public library, and I go into the section that has the pro-abortion books, and I literally open them up, and I drop some action cards in all the mm-hmm. different titles.
Let's look at what some of these say. I like this one. The cost of an abortion. One dead, one wounded. And then it says, stop abortion now.
Right. This one here says, who loves abortion? And there's three choices, women, babies, or irresponsible men. And this is checked off, irresponsible men.
Of course. It hurts both the women and kills the baby.
That's right.
Real feminists don't kill their children for anybody or any reason.
Yeah. Here's one. If abortion's the answer, it must be a really stupid question.
It was the free who defended slavery, the Nazis who defended the Holocaust, and it is the born who defend abortion. That's the way oppression works. So these really, I mean, these little sayings are clever and they make you think.
That's right.
And again, they can be read within the course of 5 seconds.
You know what it is? By the time the person realizes what it is, they've gotten the message.
Right.
You know, very often people say, well, how do we get our message out? Because if they see it's something pro-life, they turn off, they turn away, they won't look. These are so clever because, you know, the second you pick it up, as you start, like, for example, this one, have you hugged your choice today? Well, by the time I've read that, I've got the message.
Yeah.
My
now,
choice today, you mean my baby.
And the point is, we'll send them a sample packet of a variety of these different sayings.
That's right. With and an order sheet that gives the full complement of sayings.
Then they can get as
then
many
they can
as they
order
want.
More. Because mm-hmm. some people might like one saying more than another, and those are the ones they want.
Sure.
They're great little things to use, and just about every place you can distribute them. For example, women who go to the beauty parlor or the nail salon, you can leave a few. They always have magazines around, scatter them in the magazines.
Pro-life organizations, certainly. You can give them out at a pro-life meeting. In church, pastors might want to distribute them to the members of their congregation, make them available in the back of church
for
people to use, and the students can find all kinds of ways to get these around. So
if
people go to our website, gospellife.com, they can send us an email, they can write to us, they can call us, we'll send them the sample pack, and then they can order through that order sheet the rest, whatever they want. Okay, good. Well, thanks very much. Friends, we ask you to help us promote this program, let other people know about Gospel of Life, and our website. But furthermore, we ask your support for our ministry because our team is traveling all over the country. We're willing to come to your community. We're doing these programs. We're strategizing with pro-life groups. We're getting groups trained to do things like 40 Days for Life and various outreaches to the abortion clinics. Help us do this work by supporting this ministry. GospelLife.com, you can donate to us online or you can send us a check. We rely on your support. We'll see you next time. Meanwhile, let's pray for one another that we may truly bring about a culture of life.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion, haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the national director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the national pastoral director and board chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.